Okay. We get on with this with rapidity, this November 9th morning lecture. Because rambling as though it may seem, you really, really need this data if you're going to exteriorize somebody with ease. Now, let's take an arrival name. A person has already arrived. Let's just consider all the names which could mean there. Just get a telephone book and look down, and you'll find more names that could be a hocus-pocus around to mean there. You'll find this person successful and trying to die. Just uniformly. Now, the name which says not there, a whole category of names that say not there, of course, this person is trying to find himself because he's lost and not even on his way. You've got an apathy type name. Then there is the name of the impossible arrival. See, the non-arrival name, which is any name that seems to suspend somebody on a time track. And then there's the name that would prevent a person from being suspended on a time track, but would seem to denote that he was going. Like, by John Smith, the author. See, it implies to him that he's on his way. But he, of course, never going to arrive, because there's nothing in John Smith that says arrival. If you had an author's name who was George Depot, why, it would be by George Depot. His time track would probably run in the most remarkable directions. Now, let's take another name, which would be Mr. Boy. Or Miss Girl. Now, it's a non-arrival name. You're trying to get an effect on this pre-clear, and this pre-clear can't arrive. He doesn't dare arrive because he's Mr. Boy. See? So this pre-clear goes backwards in time in order to be, if he's older than a boy. Simple. Now you've got your object names, and they don't influence very much, except when the person goes real nutty, they turn up into being, let's take Miss Mattress. She can be a mattress. Professional one. And she gets into a sanitarium, you've got this person being a mattress. Now, maybe this is very disguised. It's very obtuse, the way they get to this. But it's not very obvious to the person just how they do this, but they're really doing it. But it's not very obtuse to the auditor. And what's amazing about this, then you've got your can't start names, like Mr. Waiting. Anything like Mr. Waiting to Go. There are a lot of names like this. Mr. Waiting to Go, well, of course, he can't get anything started, so he procrastinates all the time. Now, it's odd, but it's what the pre-clear makes out of the name that's important. Not what you make out of the name. It's what the pre-clear makes out of the name. Some name that may be very innocent to you at first glance may, on double terminaling and brackets, turn out to be something fantastic. You wonder how on earth they ever got that out of that, if they did, and then their viewpoint of it will keep shifting, and it'll finally come down to something plain, and then the name will become meaningless. Now, the basic therapy on this is to walk up to a little kid and say, what's your name? He says, my name's Johnny. You say, all right, you say Johnny 50 times. I'll do the counting, you do say the Johnny. He'll look at you about time 20, and he'll say, who am I? His name has lost meaning. And that's all you're trying to do to the pre-clear. You're trying to get him out of being his name. Of course, this is a symptom of something much wider. It means his space is terribly constricted. So spaciation by itself will break this down because it'll put him in a frame of mind where he can be a body or be a thetan. But very often, if a case is resistive, and this is only used when the case is really resistive, I mean, you If you go the first two or three steps and nothing happens on the thing, you just start looking for the name, that's all. And it should be practically an automatic response. That step four should be on clinical procedure. At least step four, step three. I will have to write it down and number these exact steps because they don't apply to case levels. It's just the thing you do next. It'll hit any case. The name should be double terminaled with astonishing results. And then the nicknames. And how long do you have to do this? Well, it's real unfortunate. But the fellow may say, ha ha, yeah, I'm Mr. Boy. Yeah, that's right, that means I'm young. I can understand this. Oh, yeah? Hoo-hoo. It's going to go on probably for a couple of hours. And if your case is hauling hard on the track, you're not getting advanced, then you go into this double terminaling of names in brackets. No matter how poorly they do it, because you see, that's like double terminaling concept, and anybody can double terminal a concept. You'll find they just chew on and on and on and on and on, and they don't see anything wrong with this. The fellow's name is Mr. Die. He can't understand why he's dying. And you say, well, double terminal it again, and again, and again. I'll put it up there several times. I have somebody else put it up there, and I have somebody else put it up there for somebody else. Now I have it as though it's spoken. Don't forget that, not just written. As though it's spoken, whole bracket. And now put it up for anchor points. And, gee, it gets real invisible when he puts it up for anchor points. I mean, that really gets weird. And the fellow says, Mr. Dye, Mr. Dye. I don't know. What's all this about? I mean, it has nothing to do with me. He'll finally say, you know, to about an hour. You know, that's a funny thing, but it's now coming up there, D-I-E, not D-Y-E. That's remarkable. I wonder why this is. You don't pick up a book and hit him. Remember the auditor's code and go on and double terminal thing. This is a nerve-wracking process for the auditor because he just itches to say, for God's sake, D-I-E. That's why you're dying. That's why you've been couldn't possibly be a success, and so on. Well, this is, of course, stimulus response mechanism, and it's simply keying in on an engram. You get rid of this, and you're pretty clear to start to get well hurriedly. First thing, you've taken an identity away from him. He's fixed in the identity. In an effort to cut down the amount of randomity in his life, he has assumed this identity as a name, and then has tried to make it a good name so that it will sort of get him by automatically in the society. Never occurs to him that it's English or Swedish or means something or other. Now, don't go into this. They'll tell you, you talk about look at. People who are doing this, boy, they don't look at anything. They say, well, you know, in numerology, I had it counted up one time, and it's so-and-so, and it means so-and-so. And I looked it up in Greek one time, and it means queen of the spin bin or something. And it's ancient, the Baltic derivation as given to me by the necromancy club means a beautiful dreamer and so forth. And the girl's last name is Slut. And it's going on and on. Here she is. She's just sloppy, slobbering, and marriage going to pot. There we go. Now, that's a fascinating thing. But the preclear doesn't recognize it. But this name has him labeled as a letter. It makes a communication particle out of him. Identification is the taking away from a person of being source. Because if he can be identified, police power can be leveled against him because it can identify him, so he becomes a target the moment he starts to assume an identity. And then by the DEI cycle, as we go down the tone scale, he thinks he wants an identity. That's the last thing in the world anybody wants, is an identity. Real means. Because he keeps him from being source, he's now a communication particle. So conceiving himself to be a particle, he's never an A and he never gets to be. Just on the fact that he has a name will prevent him from doing those things. It gives him an identification or makes it an answer or a question out of him. This is lots of sport, by the way. I've had a couple of boys here all of a sudden say, oh yeah, well I figured out my name and I know what I'm doing with regard to my name and so forth. And they say kind of weak laughter, ha 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 ha. Double terminal F, for goodness sakes. The person is trying to understand his name. Now remember that double terminaling the name on a case like this will throw the case down tone scale, but it will unbalance it to the point where it will come up tone scale again because it's being held together by a postulate. All right, after you've done this, what's the next thing you do? Let's go right on to the next step, which I think is step four. The next step in clinical procedure is a very interesting step. But you started it out with locating by not being. And you got him right along on that. Well, now, remember that there's something else besides looking. When you ask him, where aren't you, he immediately tried to fall into a category of looking. He tried to go up tone scale on you too fast. So the next step after the double terminaling of names is location. By the way, you can omit double terminaling of names. Get away with it many times if you don't have the time. But your next step immediately after that is location by feeling. Where don't you feel any? Now remember that that's a misnomer, feeling, because actually you've got an effort case. And he's feeling by impact. If you ask him to hit the chair, you would say, what do you feel there? Oh, I feel the chair. He feels an impact between his hand and the chair. The only two things that will impact together is a piece of mess and a piece of mess, or a wavelength matched to a wavelength, which is a piece of mess versus a piece of mess. Impact, he has no emotion about tapping the chair. No emotion at all. He can feel the chair. He doesn't have a sensation that anything is this way or that way about the chair. He's feeling an impact. He's feeling effort. And so, but he understands it as feeling, so he just used this word as the proper word. And he is locating himself madly inside the body, if he can locate himself at all, merely by spotting pressures. And he can feel a pressure on this side of his head and a pressure on that side of his head. Well, where don't you feel anything? Well, he doesn't feel that wall. Well, first he'll open his eyes probably and say, well, yeah, well, I can see the wall. I know where I am, all right. I can see the wall. Yeah, tell me. Close those eyes. Now, well, this is so indefinite that you wouldn't dare go into it, but he knows he doesn't feel it. So you say, all right, now what don't you feel around you? Oh, don't feel the wall, I don't feel this, I don't feel that, I don't feel this or that. Now, what do you feel? Well, there's a sharp feeling right up here and another feeling here on the other side of the head. There's two anchor points. What is his anchor point? The sensation of feeling. This is exteriorization by feeling. Now, what don't you feel? Now, what don't you feel in the past? He's always had a half-sneaking hunch he's in a grave someplace. But he feels around for a little while and he doesn't feel any grave. So he doesn't feel a grave. Fine. He doesn't feel this, he doesn't feel that. All of a sudden he'll pick up the fact that he is holding on in various points so as to make a feelingness for an anchor point, and he'll locate himself in a sort of a highly generalized way by the sharp or pressure points inside the body. Now, do you feel your feet? Yeah. No. What he had nailed down there were extensional, in-place, automatic beams which brought in a sensation of the feet. And if you ask him to feel his feet on these beams, he'll tell you, yes, he can feel his feet. But you ask him what he doesn't feel in his feet, and he'll all of a sudden locate that there are areas where he doesn't feel. In other words, the beam is fixed, and that's all that's wrong with this fellow, is everything is fixed. So you've got areas that don't feel. Where don't you feel? And this will exteriorize him. You can ask him where he does feel once in a while, but where don't you feel? For? Now, there's another note that should go on this. That's just like, where aren't you? See? And a person knows he isn't anywhere that he can look at. He puts up 8 anchor points. You say, are you in those anchor points?
No.
So you've located him. You could actually tell him to close his eyes and look at all that blackness. And you see that blackness? Are you in it? No. But that happens to be a long technique, because a person who's got a lot of blackness is on the sensation of feel. He's doing location by feeling, just like any other blind man. Tap, 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 tap. Tap, tap, tap. Rope, 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 rope along the walls. See? He'll do an exteriorization by feeling. He'll finally get to a point where he doesn't feel the front of his face, but he does feel the back of his head. Now, don't persuade him to feel the back of his head, because he's afraid to touch things. Anchor points handle him, remember. He doesn't handle anchor points. Doesn't feel the front of his face. Well, not very well. Do you feel anything out in front of your face? Well, now remember something. He'll start pawing little faint beams around in the air around him. And these don't locate worth a nickel. And all they do is stir up the energy deposits he's surrounded with. So if you get him to manhandling the air in front of him, or putting out beams to feel something here or there, he stays lost. What you want him to do is to find out what he is doing. You don't want to put him into action. What do you feel right where you're sitting, you see? Not scrape around and what do you tap? Now, it's how far south do you have to go in such a case? Because you're dealing right there with effort. He doesn't feel anything unless it's an impact. People like impacts for one reason. It tells them they're not there. They get a ridge, and at the moment of impact, why, gee whiz, they have an anchor point that they can sense. See? Now, when a person likes impacts, he can look at this impact on its way in. His attention is terrifically concentrated. It gives him a lot of certainty, but it's a certainty of what? It's a certainty that he's not there. So this, of course, goes into the whole ramification and category of thinkingness about he postulates that he won't be there, because the thing tells him he's not there, you see. He's about to hit a tree. He's not there. No, he's 10 feet from the tree, and for the next 10 years he will remain 10 feet from the tree, because he's exactly located as not being in the tree. There is the certainty of an impact. It's an inverted certainty, and there is the inversion factor. You got it? Another tip on this is barriers. He wants barriers so he can feel them. And this universe is not even vaguely dangerous. The only thing that can feel this universe is this universe, or fellow's eyes. Fellow's eyes have to be wasted. Really, many times, if he's really blind. That, by the way, is the other part of double terminal, but you wouldn't go into it until you had done this other. If he's having a rough time of it, and he feels himself into location, and then he's peeking around this, and he's having a rough time that. After exteriorization by, let's call it exteriorization by negative feeling. You you'd have to handle his looking, and the best way to handle his looking is having waste eyes. Waste I as an alphabet letter, and waste glass eyes, and waste nest eyes, and waste them in brackets, until all of a sudden, he says he's got lots of eyes, because there's a scarcity of viewpoints. Now the next thing you'll do with this person is show him that he can see with a viewpoint. He can put a viewpoint out and then see with it. Well, of course, he's scared to do this because his main confusion is the fact he's parked so many viewpoints over various parts of the world that he's still looking through, that he doesn't know where the devil is. And he realizes there's a difference between direct looking and looking through a viewpoint. And there, by the way, you've just about done it with clinical procedure. We'll go into this a little bit more and I'll lay it out for you more precisely. We're discussing it here. I'm not laying it down. What factor could you pick up any place that would be really a killer? What's the one thing he's after and he really feels bad about and will unbalance his case? Beauty. Good old 880. Beauty. All right, where aren't you being beautiful at the moment? Fits right in with the category of somebody you'd have to double turn on the name of. Where aren't you being beautiful at the moment? Right here. First impulse he's liable to think. Then you say, well, put yourself being very beautiful down in the street. I don't know. Well, are you not being beautiful in the street, being not beautiful in the street? No. And he actually will get a sort of automatic response trying to remove anything of him down in the street that might be there and not beautiful. This is really a fabulous thing. But beauty and ugliness, particularly beauty, is a sort of a positive fact that stays there with no negative fact. Ugliness is merely the final, violent effort to repel barriers which are encroaching upon them. Well, where aren't you being beautiful at the moment? Where aren't you being beautiful in the past? The guy, no. Now, this not-there-ness, just to go on with that for a moment, this not-there-ness is tremendously interesting to the auditor. Because the man picks up all kinds of engrams where he doesn't want to be just for one reason, so that he can locate himself by not being there. You wonder why these fellows pull in all these ugly and horrible and mean and nasty things for a place they don't want to be. So if you start asking a pre-clear, where aren't you? You'll get immediate responses on not in the Camden Sur system. In other words, he's working on a repulsion. The only way he can really set himself up in life is to get enough engrams around, he feels, that convince him he's not someplace else. Betrayal and all that sort of thing, and the reason he talks about this sort of thing a lot, is he uses this mechanism to get out of places. I don't want to be here. I'm not there. That's the first thing he does. Well, the next thing he's doing is saying, I don't want to be there because something bad happened to me. Well, this keeps him out of the place. It's just a problem in location. It is not a problem in any ethic or anything of that sort. But beauty is this sideways little factor that rides in there very nicely. You'll find people after they've had a quarrel or they've acted disgracefully or been on a big drunk or something of the sort, they won't wear the same suit. They want it to be cleaned or they'll hang it up or they won't wear the same shirt until it's been laundered or something of the sort. They've changed themselves around. And at the same time, you won't be able to persuade them to put on anything pretty. They'll choose something that's kind of humdrum. They don't want to put out much mock-up. Now, in this society today, you look at the humdrum clothes that are being worn in the society, you see that it's kind of considers itself that way. Yeah, where aren't you being beautiful? Now, this comes up with no certainty at all half the time and goes right on doing a good job. Well, I don't think I'm being beautiful in Milwaukee. I don't think so. I'm not being beautiful 100 years ago. See, a grave, I'm not being beautiful in that grave. I guess not, anyway. Goes back to the fact that a few hundred years ago, even less than a few hundred years ago, bodies were pretty doggone aesthetic. They were pretty gaudy. You take the boys of the Crusader period. Gee, they were pretty. And the Roman period and so forth. Boys and girls there, they were real pretty. And they expended the mock-up real quick, too. I mean, they got up to 20s, 30s, something like that. Why? Half. No mock-up. Early marriage, early childbearing, early demise. Now we've got up longevity, longevity, longevity. It's just procrastinate, procrastinate, procrastinate. Because I'll never get another mock-up, I'll never get another mock-up, I'll never get another mock-up. Throw them away are easy. Mock-ups walking all over the place, or walking all over the eastern part of the United States here, obviously with no faith running. Well, there should be something else I will mention, is the Guardian Ridge. There's a thing called the Guardian Ridge, which you run into in this same case, but you have to double terminal his name. And as you start him feeling around very much, you will find that he's being protected or guarded from the rear. If he tells you this, he'll comment on it. Run it for a moment or two. These are merely his old deposits of protecting the body. At one time was back of the body, you see, and back of bodies. And the body is used to being in back of. Thetans earlier didn't run them interiorly. And so it's built up a heck of a ridge, and it's all an incoming guarding control ridge. And when he backs up, he often runs into this ridge. And his parents get hung up on this and so forth. And he'll think he has a guardian angel. He think he has a spirit guarding him or something from behind. Very often people go into spiritualism. This thing goes into restimulation. They have a guardian angel, all right, themselves. An old ridge they made. Now let's get down to the basic point I want to drive home. This technique, by the way, will solve your case. I mean, any case, I inquire, this exteriorization by negative feeling is absolutely deadly. Get this. You taking a motorcycle down the road, motorcycle taking you down the road. That motorcycle's made out of energy. So is the ridge. And the person who is taking the motorcycle down the road has darn little energy deposit around him. He just doesn't tune in on it. It's much concerned with it. And a person who's being taken down the road has heavy energy deposits around him. There's no difference between a ridge taking him someplace and him taking a ridge someplace. He's an effect of the energy he's trying to escape from. So every time he has run into a wall, a barrier, he said, "I'm not there." He could make up his mind to that for a moment, you see. Then he ran square into and got embedded in the ridge, which contains the postulate, "I'm not there." You get that mechanical fact, critically mechanical. So you start this process of "I'm not there, where aren't you?" And you're liable to kick these "I'm not theirs" into restimulation. And a case may suddenly sag into negative feeling. And so if he suddenly is completely uncertain, he was just certain as could be about not being not there and not there and not in front of his face and not here, and all of a sudden he started to get very uncertain, all he's done into is run into this cycle of where he has become the energy, and the energy says, "I'm not there." And you just do him now with negative feeling. You just drop him that much more down the scale and exteriorize him from then on. You'll get very certain after a while. You'll get very back to being very certain about I'm not there again. So you've gotten him away from the ridges. Practically any ridge has in it the basic assumption, not postulate, but just has in the basic idea, I'm not there. Another little tip I'd give you on running a case that is occluded or any case that is cleared but is hanging fire and is staying very much around the body, make a machine or a type of body which will capture babies. It's pretty well a clue to this machine. Now, letting words do the thinking is another clue to the pileup of some ridges that you run into. Words doing the thinking. The words are the effort to think. Something on that order will resolve a bad tangle on this. You'll run into this, the person will tell you this when he's unsnarling a ridge. You want to get him out to a point where he's looking stabilized. Now, is it necessary for the thing to keep on looking at this universe? You run space of the body, space of the room, space of something else, very long, and you are validating barriers. What's wrong with continuous agreement of the meshed universe? The meshed universe is the game of I'm not there. And the more you validate these barriers, why, the more the fellow sees the barriers. That's all. And he gets to a point where he can't look through the barriers anymore. What's the difference between this fellow who can't look through a wall and who can't look through a positive energy inside his head? It's all right to play this game. It's a perfectly good playing field. Just remember to look. It's quite as important and as interesting to look through the walls as it is to look at the walls. Your thetan will most often come out looking through the walls rather than looking at the walls. But he's an inverted level, and he's below being able to contact the walls anymore. He's looked at them so long, he can't see them anymore, and if he did see them. So we have to get him used to looking at the walls, and this orients him, then he can go on up through. Okay?